You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really, really would, but you're doing in my head. It's too much and it's not good. I'm standing in a window, so I'm shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information. Ask me for my foot, blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise. And I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Dave Hodges here, and you're in hour number three with the Common Sense Show, where we're freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And there's a lot of uncoupling we got to do with the system to really free people's minds, and this is really where slavery begins. We're joined this hour by Bob Griswold. We'll be with Bob in just one moment. Just want to remind everybody that we are brought to you by ReadyMadeResources.com. That's Bob's company. We'll be talking about that certainly before the end of the show, and we'll be highlighting a few of Bob's more popular products that should be in every person's survival kit. And thanks to go out to our two guests earlier, Doug Hagman, James Wesley Rawls. Good 2 hours. Wow, good guests, and got a third one right now. I want to remind everybody to go to scene.life, escape the tyranny of Facebook. Go to scene.life, and I'll tell you, right there, people who are like-minded, sharing ideas, sharing articles. It's really a good way to go. And again, I want to remind everybody, we're also sponsored this hour by Numana Foods, and go to numana.com/Hodges, check out our fine product line, our competitive prices, and you can take 5% off the sale by putting in the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. And again, just in case you haven't been paying attention, we do have a YouTube page, and it's my way of really having more or less a daily radio show. Go to the Common Sense Show on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, and don't forget to like us. And that basically takes care of the business, except one more thing. I want to talk about TradeGenius.co. Bob Kudla, man, is he really on it with the economy. Man, his stuff is second to none, and I'd really encourage you to go up, TradeGenius.co. We're going to be having Bob on the show next week. Tremendous, tremendous stuff there. Really good stuff. And of course, we're also brought to you by GetTheTea.com. If you got something inside of you that shouldn't be there, GetTheTea.com will flush it out, and your energy level will increase greatly. Well, Bob Griswold, it's been a month since we've talked, and a lot of water has passed under our collective bridges. What's on your radar, my friend?
Gosh, what is it on the radar, Dave? I mean, if you are at all unplugged from the collective, if you have any free will thinking left, you have to realize that in our country things are seriously askew. A couple thoughts I have, and I'll go into each one of them. We can elaborate on them. Conspiracies, we hear that word a lot. We hear the fake news media as a conspiracy. We hear the Russians are a conspiracy. All these conspiracies that they're trying to label on the alt-right or the conservative Christian or whatever. Let's just remember, JFK was a conspiracy. Robert Kennedy was a conspiracy. Martin Luther King was a conspiracy. The Haiphong mining of to get us into the Vietnam War was a conspiracy. 9/11 was a conspiracy. Oklahoma City was a conspiracy. Flight 700 was a conspiracy. And the list goes on, and each of these things that they have tried to make us buy the mainstream lie, the lies are coming unglued, and people are seeing it for what it is, that parts of government have been complicit in each of these things. How many people believe that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the killing of Robert Kennedy, or Jack Ruby killed Robert Kennedy, or Martin Luther King, or, you know, it came out, obviously Johnson mined the Haiphong Harbor to get us into Vietnam War. We think about the current war that, you know, this is the perfect war we're in, Dave, for the globalist. Because how do you sign a peace treaty with terror groups? Clandestine, under the radar terror groups. How do you sign a peace treaty with them? If you're fighting Iran, you can sign a peace treaty with Iran. But this war on terror is the perfect war for the globalists because it can go on forever. We've heard of the 100-year war. This could be more than a 100-year war. We're well into it right now, almost two decades. And so how much longer will it go on? It can go on forever because always the bad guys, the government, can say it's a war on terror. And so until something fundamentally changes, we're going to have this encroachment on our freedom. And we see it. I mean, Hillary and these people, these vermin, are absolutely trying to press for Soviet-style censorship of any dissenting view. Now, that in and of itself, Jim, should absolutely send every person who loves freedom just, I mean, you know, pulling their hair out. And yet, we're silent. You know, I was listening to Jim Rawls earlier, and I've known Jim for 25 years, a very dear friend, and I think he hit the answer right on, I mean, the hammer, you know, the nail, hit it directly. And I have two things, and this is where it starts. It starts in the pulpits of America. America divided and America unrepentant. Now, for anybody who's a Christian person, to think that a Donald Trump is going to somehow make America great again, I mean, I think it was Reagan said, or who said it, that America can only be great when America acknowledges God. Well, we don't see any of this happening. What we see, basically, is we're going to, one side saying we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we're going to do it in the power of our might. And I remember Jonathan Cahn came in with that thing, that scripture in Isaiah, we will rebuild. Do you remember that?
Yes. Absolutely.
What is the mantra right now we're hearing? We will rebuild. And if you read that scripture in Isaiah, it's not a scripture of promise and hope. It's a scripture of defiance. And I was praying the other night, and that thought came to me that, excuse me, we will rebuild and, I mean, really make America great again, but not make America great again because American people have turned back to God that gave them the greatness to begin with. Dave, think of this. And this is the perfect Marxist setup. We live in a nation right now, the dirt of America, where half the people voted for a demon-possessed, child-molesting, traitorous, lying, psychopathic, you know, witch. Half the people in America voted for her. And half those people, at least a fair portion of them, have expressed hatred for you and me, and Jim Rawls, and Doug Hagman, and Steve Quayle, and John Q. America that goes to church and just as normal wants to live a conservative normal life. They've expressed hatred. You know, I actually saw, we live in the Tennessee area, so we were very, you know, passionate about the fires that have happened recently in our area and have displaced so many people. But you can actually read tweets from people that were saying, I wish it all burned down. I wish more people had died because this area voted for Donald Trump. And so I'm calling it the blue-gray moment in America. And yet I think it's more than blue-gray. In referencing the Civil War, we had the blue side and the gray side. I think we're facing a multifaceted civil war in America. You asked Jim in the program, do you think that bloodshed is in our path? I would say the question we better ask, Dave, is bloodshed avoidable in our path? Is it avoidable at this point? And I don't think it is, because those people have already demonstrated they'll beat you up, they will burn your property. They're absolutely just when you look at them, there's a lunacy in their eyes and their hatred towards people who disagree with them. And the track record of violence is proven, and the track record that the Democratic Party set that violence up is proven. WikiLeaks proved it. So the other thing Jim did, praying Psalm 91, I would really strongly recommend people read that tonight. It's the warrior psalm, praying for God's protection, because I do. Dave, I do believe that we're at that turning point in America, that it would only be divine interference in us, or divine mercy upon us, that we will avoid this bloodshed. We are at that catalyst point. Donald Trump might be the catalyst, that if he starts doing things what he has said he'll do, there's 50-some million people who voted for Hillary Clinton that aren't going to take it very nice. And there's 50 million people who want to see it done. That sounds like a perfect setup for a conflict, in my opinion. And so what I would tell people tonight is, you know, double down on all of your efforts. You know, if you're a Christian person, which I strongly recommend everybody, you know, that is not listening, that isn't, search the claims of Christ, look into them, fall upon his mercy, and be forgiven. If you are, double down on it, because it's the thing that's going to keep you firm in these days of trouble ahead. It's going to keep your feet planted on a solid rock. You're not going to be tossed and turned by the shifting tides of what we're going to see, and we are going to see it. I will be very unequivocal. We are going to see this shifting sands, and America radically changing, because there's only one way to govern a people that will not observe the rule of law, and that's by the barrel of a gun. And that's what Mao Zedong said, that all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. And so when America has denied the God that made us great to begin with, the God that gave us the foundation for our laws, and we reject that, all you have to do is read anywhere in the scripture. Deuteronomy is a great place to start, and see the curses that come upon a nation. So I will say with mathematical certainty that unless we turn back with humility, repentance, and contriteness, and ask God as a nation, corporately, the churches, the people, to forgive us of our gross and manifold sin, that we have violence directly ahead. And I don't know how if I can make it any more clear than that.
Bob, how do you see that violence manifesting? Do you see it government to the people? Or is it going to be the two groups that you've defined?
It'll be everywhere, because the government's sole purpose is to stay in power and enjoy the benefit of being in power. That's the two things politicians are concerned with, is getting elected and getting reelected. They're going to want to keep political power, but they also want to transition to a more dictatorial, communistic-type form of government. And so they can use violence very easily. They can incite both sides to violence and get the fighting going, and then come in and say, well, we can offer the solution, where they themselves are the ones that create the violence. The greatest violence we see in America has always been political. I mean, we saw great violence against Native Americans. We saw great violence against African Americans. We saw great violence against Japanese Americans during World War II. I mean, you know, the most dangerous people with a gun is our governments. Historically, you could say, and if you want to start with gun control, then let's start with the people that commit the most gun violence, and that's the government. So I think it'll be multifaceted, because again, who is the one that gives us peace? Where does peace come from? Where do we obtain the worldview that I want to live at peace with my brother, even if he's a different color or whatever? I want to live at peace with him. Where do we get that from? Historically, that hasn't sprung up within us. Historically, that has come from our Christian faith that says all men are sons of Adam, all women are daughters of Eve. I have to look at people like that. But when you've eviscerated that from society, and basically there is no transcendent value, there is no higher thing, we're just basically creatures of evolution, and you know, we're here and for whatever, and then we die, whatever. You're going to live for today, and as these groups become more and more polarized, you're going to see it, and then the government coming in and stepping in with violence to look like they're trying to quell it when they've actually started it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yeah, problem, reaction, solution is what you're describing.
Right, and there's a scripture here, and I just want to tell people of Christians that are really, I think Jim Rawls again hit it right on the head. In America, at least, I'll speak for America, the day of the church age, that where you go to these big buildings that are really sarcophaguses, they're just filled with dead, and you go there, they're dying. It's people. The people are not getting. They're getting entertained. They're getting all those other things. Well, you can do that, you know, on TV, get entertained. But the true Christian who wants to serve God and know that he's filled with the Holy Spirit and have the leading of the Lord and have the richness of life from that type of spirit that life gives, they're going to face persecution. Now, I'm going to throw some things out. And I ran this. I actually ran it by a friend of ours, you know, Steve. I ran it by him. But it says, for it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God. It begins with us. What will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? If the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? You don't think one of the most religious areas of our country just suffered a great catastrophe, Gatlinburg. And I know through it all, there's people that are crying out to God. And there's a move of repentance almost of people that have brokenness. And if that scripture is starting in America, in one of the most religious places of our country where we have a lot of devout people, I think, Dave, we're at the precipice of this right now when it's going to go downhill. Because, again, you know, let us rebuild, Isaiah. When the nation of Israel said, we're going to defy God, we're going to do it ourselves, we're going to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and our own power. And what we're hearing is basically human pride. And human pride is going to cause a lot of problems. It's going to cause Barack Obama was successful at a few things. He was successful at completely dividing Americans. They hate each other. And we're going to see this hatred and you know, bitterness grow until it finally breaks. Add on top of it the economy and, you know, with economic downturn. And it's like you said, I mean, you think of Americans grossly overweight, and again, if people that are overweight are hearing this, there's reasons why you're overweight, and a lot of it's just the choices of food you have, and you're really, it's a whole changing process of life to get off that food system that the government produces to make you dependent on, you know, overweight, need the pharmaceutical companies, all these things that they do, so that you're just plugged into the system and you're totally dependent on them. We have the highest use of opiates and other drugs in the world, the highest rate of antidepressants in the world. We have an entitled generation. We have 95 million Americans out of work that, you know, are on the system taking that. So if there's a downturn, that's what Jim had alluded to, that would be the cause of violence. I would say that would be one of the causes of violence in America.
You know, the more I talk to people, the more I realize we're not going to get out of this without a fight. But God can work miracles, and I keep saying that. You know, I entitled part of the show tonight, I was taken to task by one of our readers from our website, and I said, is America past the point of no return? And that's a loaded question, because that doesn't mean America's going to fall and stay buried. What that means is, are we past the point of return where we can solve our problems within the system? Bob, can we still solve our problems within the system? Is that possible?
When
at
the
all?
System is the problem, I think that is a self-answering question. The system is the problem. The system is the one that has set up. I mean, you look at what the welfare has destroyed the African-American community in America, with no fathers, with everybody on multi-generational welfare, where the government gives them a meager pittance of what they need to really live life. No hope for the young black man to get a job. And so you have the government has really, you know, put them into inner cities and just become, you know, cauldrons of crime and whatever. What else would you expect? So that's just one of the problems the government creates. I mean, it's just problem after problem after problem. The government creates these problems. And instead of, you know, saying we're not going to create the problems anymore, they create more problems to try to fix the problems they create, and it just becomes a spiraling thing of just, you know, nobody can get it unwound. The system has it's going to have to grind to a halt. And when it grinds to a halt, you know, that is when all the things we talk about, I mean, you know, the mission of ready-made resources, I could do a lot of other things. I've done a lot of other things, and I've done a lot of things that paid well. You know some of them, Dave. I've talked with you privately. They paid well. But there's a passion in my heart, a burning, and I say it comes from the Lord above, that if you look at the what I would call the mathematics of Scripture, and that is sin brings judgment, we are headed in that direction at fast pace with nobody calling it back. In fact, really, the let us rebuild is let us go faster. We can do it better. We can get, you know, we can, and there's nobody, the churches are not calling out for anybody to change any behavior. And so at the end of the day, I think what Jim was talking about earlier, this is why I formed Ready Made Resources to begin with, is to show people and to educate people in some ways that you know, what we need to do, what our forebears did in order to survive. I mean, they hacked a living out of the wilderness here. It was very, very difficult. They were the ultimate preppers and survivors. I mean, if you didn't prep, you died. Now we've grown dependent on this system that is so complex it could not be run by human hands. You could not run the logistics with paper and pencil and human beings. The logistics are so complex they have to be run by supercomputers, and even then all the supercomputers don't talk to each other, and no one knows all what the supercomputers do, and so there's no one overriding authority or human authority that governs it all. It's just, it is far, far, far too complex. And so with that, all it takes is one hiccup or burp, and what do we have? We have EBT cards not showing up. We have gasoline not showing up. We have electricity going off. I mean, look what happened to the cell phones just up in New England a while ago. This is another thing, Dave. This is why I talk so much about night vision and communication. If you look at Gatlinburg, 17,000 acres, 700 homes, businesses shut down. The area was cordoned off. They're still, don't know if they found everybody that perished in the fire. But the cell phones and communication lines went down. Do you know what people were using? Ham radio. You know, it works.
I'm surprised there was enough around to make a difference.
Well, just think of this, Dave. If I can call into an agency that has a ham radio, and you're here on vacation in Gatlinburg, and I find that you're, even though your cabin burnt down, and you know, I talked to Dave Hodges, and I said I could call in and say Dave Hodges is alive. I've talked to him, to the Hodges family. They live in this and such address, and I can give that information to authorities. That information can then be disseminated to other family members. And that's what is done a lot of times is ham radio, and that's why I strongly recommend it to people. Here's a living example of why the ability to communicate is so critically important when events don't go the way you think they're going to go, or when we have a massive grid shutdown through a CME, an EMP, or just a hacking. I mean, they're out there with night vision and thermal looking for people, you know, search and rescue. It really does make that difference. And in a grid down situation where, you know, you're going to have hungry, drug-deprived, entitled people looking for anything, it won't take very long before they will become very violent, very angry. And if you have anything that looks like that will satisfy them, they will think that they're entitled to it. And this is where, again, the night vision, the communication, if you have a group of people, you can communicate with each other. And you cannot do this with the radios you buy over the counter at most grocery stores, I mean, you know, department stores like Walmart or whatever. Those radios, even though they say 36 miles, I'm telling you, they might go a mile. Might. I wouldn't give them a mile. Go buy a pair and check it out for yourself, see for yourself. They won't work. Ham radio, on the other hand, has the ability to hit what they call repeaters. And again, those repeaters are usually solar power backed up, so they'll be running, and I can actually tie into a repeater that's on top of a tower, and then that repeater takes my small signal in, turns it back out on another frequency at much higher power. So the transmission of 100, 150 miles is not a problem. And so that's why, again, I tell people to get your ham radio license, learn how to use it. Don't say, I'm just going to buy the equipment, I'm not going to get the ham radio license, because it is a learning curve. You're not going to go get ham, you're not going to pick up ham radios the day you need them and say, okay, now I know how to use it. I can promise you, I'm a reasonably smart guy, and it took me a while to figure it all out, how to make it work. And then you're gonna want to be able to talk to your family members. You're gonna absolutely want to communicate with maybe your friends, your group, or whatever that you're gonna want to talk to, and get them all on board so that you guys can talk to each other, and then you can form a neighborhood protection on steroids, you know. And that's happened. I mean, I think all the way back to the Rodney King riots, the Koreans, they were armed, they were communicating with each other, and their stores did not get burned down. They were not looted. Again, this is what these things can do for us if we act now. If we wait and just see what happens and say, well, you know, I'd rather spend the money on something else, you know, there's a chance we could be wrong. And, you know, what will you lose? You'll have gained a valuable skill that you can use in a lot of other areas. I use my ham radio all the time. Jim was talking about train up. Well, I just came back, and I strongly recommend people to look at this. A weekend course on fighting pistol that tactical response gives out of Camden, Tennessee. It was a very, very intense fighting pistol course. I mean, this is not just sitting there shooting paper targets. You're you know, every kind of imaginable shooting position, under things, over things, reload. I mean, it was very intense. So, you know, that's just, you know, people wanted to get that kind of training. But, again, my point is, that training, I need it. I need it frequently. I need to refresh it. If I just go out and buy a gun, stick it in my dresser with a box of bullets next to it, and at 2 o'clock in the morning, the burglar's jimmying my sliding glass door open, Dave, what's the chance of me getting that gun and having any clue what to do with it other than throw it at them?
Well, not much. That's a concern of mine as well.
Yeah, that's the point with ham radio. If you don't get your ham radio license, then you won't learn how to use it ahead of time, and you'll just be looking at it and going, what do I do now? And in all of its features, you won't know how to do. So here's where the true peppering comes in. And Jim said, stock up, team up, train up. So yeah, again, you know, the radios, you would stock up with them. You would get a team together with them, so that you have a team of people. That way I can call out to somebody, and listen, I have a need. Can you come over or whatever? I'm out of town. Can you watch over my family while I'm gone? Whatever. You know, or if we were talking about it on the way back from Camden, which is about 280 miles away, what would happen if something happened? I mean, we're playing the what-if game. What happens if something happened and all of a sudden, you know, we couldn't get home, whatever, you know, how would we get home? What would we do? Well, fortunately, I carry ham radio in my car, and I could relay it back to my family. And give them situation updates, you know, where I'm at and how we're getting home and what we're doing. My wife would feel a whole lot better to know that I'm heading her direction than just wondering, am I alive or dead or whatever. So, again, ham radio does. Gatlinburg was a perfect example of it. The fire had taken down the cell phone service and had taken down the landlines. People couldn't communicate with each other. Loved ones were wondering if loved ones were alive. And, you know, again, those who had prepared ahead of time that knew what they were doing could be a community service at that point. In the future, it might be a service that saves your life. It might be a service where you can say, listen, guys, you got some bad people coming your way. You better get out of the way or get ready for them. And Jim talks about a lot. As the cities start to fail, people are going to flee those cities. As the infrastructure fails, I got a little bit of a thing of being outside for 2 days, and, you know, you have to yell a lot, you know, when you're in that course I took, and so my voice is a little off. But, you know, Jim talks a lot about, you know, about these things and, you know, the need to get it done ahead of time, and what happens when these cities, you know, when they start to fail, you're going to have people fleeing. And we already see it now. A lot of these big cities have the uber wealthy leaving. They know what's going to happen. And so they're leaving, and you see these stories of people buying, you know, gentleman farms or retreats or even bunkers. And, you know, not all those stories are conspiracies. A lot of them are true. I do know a gentleman who has built quite a few bunkers. He works one of the largest companies in America that does build bunkers for people. And these aren't the metal kind. These are actually concrete structures underground. So I go back to my original premise at the beginning of the program, Dave. America divided, America unrepentant. And I stand by that. And I think we're going to see the effects of it. And I say, whoa, caution, especially for the Christian, but anybody. You know, when we're by the power of our might, by pride and hubris, saying, let us rebuild, I think we need to take a step back from that and say, okay, we already see in the Trump administration, Goldman Sachs has their fingers in there. They're moving in. They've been offered positions. And, you know that's not going to have a good ending to it.
That's a bleak picture. It really is. Let me share another bleak picture with you. I interviewed Paul Martin, and we're both continuing to look into something. Paul's not the only source of this information that I have. Some people are just on the ground, regular average people, traveling the I-25 corridor between Fort Collins and Denver. And then I do have former friends, longtime friends from my time in Denver that are in law enforcement. And what Paul told me, I've been able to confirm, Bob, get this, that we are seeing convoys of trucks on a routine basis between Fort Collins and Denver. And they're going somewhere in hiding, and no one can really give me a definitive description, but they're turning off in 120th Avenue, which is kind of the northern gateway for Denver, in the suburbs there called North Glen, and they just disappear. And these trucks are carrying gigantic spools of things that you would need to electrify an area. But I'm going to go one step further. I have learned what Paul told me, that the Chetsons have moved into Denver, and they have their own communication system. They're well-armed. They're committing crimes. But listen to this, Bob. They're not committing bank robberies, carjackings, massive drug dealings, and the murders associated with that. They're stealing electrical equipment from the west side of Denver by the Platte River, the I-25 corridor that runs through Denver. And I know that area. That's an industrial hub, and there they have lots of factory, warehouse type of places, and they're taking stuff to build portable electrical cities. And I'll tell you what I've concluded, and let's see if you agree with me. I think there's going to be an EMP, or if not an EMP, a grid takedown, and these foreign nationals are preparing for that so they can carry out their dastardly deeds. One, do you know anything about this? And two, what do you think it sounds like to you from what I've described?
Well, let's put it in perspective. What does the government say? One of the, and you know, again, we go back to the conspiracy thing. Who did it? Who killed JFK? Who killed Robert Kennedy? Who killed Martin Luther King? I mean, all these things. But so keep that in mind of who did it. If we have an EMP or hack, or even a CME, which would be worse than either those two, which the government says is the one of the number one threats we face. So when the government's telling it's one of the number one threats we face, it could be used for a lot of purpose. I mean, they know what would happen if the grid goes down for very long. It would be the perfect excuse for martial law and, you know, the government moving in. Are groups preparing for it? The elite are building bunkers. The elite are preparing for it. So, does your story sound far-fetched? In that perspective, I don't think it does. In that perspective, it sounds like the reasonable thing to do. I mean, shoot, Dave, I mean, you know, 10, 15 years ago, if we had told people that the government being debt $20 trillion and maybe $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, we've been at war for 20 years with no end in sight. We would have had an Islamic invasion in our country. That if homosexual marriage had become legal, and yada yada yada, on and on and on, you would have looked at people. People would have looked at you and thought, "This guy's off his rocker. This will never happen." And so, let's judge things in that perspective, and not judge things, you know, quick emotionally, like that's just too far out to happen. Well, 20 years ago, the things that happened now were too far out to happen. So, you look at a government that has spent trillions on war and terror, And to think that the government doesn't have some kind of, you know, occupying cities where they can stack people, it's pretty naive. They would have to be able to do it. Either they just have to kill them, because you can't do, I mean, if they are truly going to cause disruption, they're going to have to either incarcerate them or end them. So, you know, we have to come to grips that the government has done some pretty vile things, and that this could be on the list. The government's definitely planning. You could have the Chinese in this country doing the same thing, planning. You could have the Russians in this country doing the same thing, planning. And you could have a lot of other groups in this country doing the same thing, planning, so that when you have a failure of civility moment, those groups that are prepared can step right in and take over. And if you have to live under that type of government, it is going to be very, very unpleasant.
Bob,
I'm sorry, Dave, you know, for painting this picture. I go back to the statement I made. Is God's word true? I mean, if it's true, if it's not, then maybe we can skate this thing. I happen to think it's true. I think historically, I think you can prove the scriptures are accurate. And so I will say with mathematical certainty, I'll use that term again, mathematical certainty. That means 2 plus 2, it doesn't matter if I'm here or 15 billion light years away from here, 2 plus 2 is going to equal 4. With mathematical certainty, we are going to face a judgment in this nation. And it is going to be terrible. So, I mean, I hope people don't get mad at me as being the messenger, or doom and gloom, or Steve calls it, what, fear porn, or whatever. Again, you think of the prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Daniel. You know, those guys were hated in their day. They were pariah. Nobody liked them. And yet today we read those guys and we say, you know, gosh, they were, you know, they preached all this condemnation on the nation of Israel for their forsaking of the Lord. And we look at it and think, wow, these are such sacred books. Well, back then, they killed those people for saying those things. I mean, they weren't popular at all back then. And so when you hear people that have, not me, but, you know, people, maybe Steve or Jim or Hagman or whatever, the list goes on, it's quite a big, and even people coming out of the government now saying there's problems, secular people, more and more people are coming out saying there's really a system that's broken that can't be fixed. Don't get mad at them. You know, don't plug your ears up and say, well, I don't want to hear this because it's so unpleasant, or he's just, you know, I mean, Steve gets accused of being fear porn all the time. Don't go there. Just say with reason, with your own reason, say, why won't it happen? Ask yourself, why won't it happen? Americans are too good for that to happen. Well, again, we have to remember, Americans, we've got the snowflake generation. They're entitled. They think the world owes them everything. The drug use is at pandemic levels. We have 95 million Americans out of work. You know, you just start listing. Our borders are open. All these things you just start listing. And it does paint that picture. And so forgive me if I upset people or, you know, it paint a bleak picture, but unless God steps in, the Almighty, the God of the Bible, steps in and grants this nation a repentant heart, a contriteness, where we fall on Him and ask for forgive our national sins, I think there's no other way. And this is why, again, Jim and Steve and all these other people are saying, get ready, get prepared. It doesn't matter where you buy it from, get it. Get your food. Get your water. Learn how to communicate with people. Learn how to protect yourself. I mean, again, I just spent the whole weekend learning how to use a pistol defensively and use it in a way that I will come out on top, because I want to be the one who goes home to my wife. I want to be the one who raises my child. And you know, as we see the gun violence is escalating, violence in America is growing worse. The FBI is telling us that. You know, and again, it's predictable. We have a nation that is forsaking God, that live by their own morals, and, you know, what is yours is mine, and what is mine is mine. So I'll take it by force if I have to. You know, again, I just encourage people to get ready for what is coming. Get your food ready. Get your ability to secure yourself clean drinking water. Get ready to learn how to communicate when grid down, cell phones down, you know. Get ready for those things. And then again, get ready to protect your family. You know, you go and read any of these places where dose of villainy has happened, and women and children pay a horrible price for it. And so I just say, get ready.
I'd like to return to Gatlinburg for a second. I know people there, people like Dr. Susan Hellman, and I haven't been able to reach her, but I'm pleased to note that she joined my Scene.life Common Sense Show group. At least there was a Dr. Susan Hellman that did. I assume it was Susan, the Susan I know. But, Bob, one of the things that Susan and others have talked to me about from Gatlinburg was the strong, young, virile, athletic Russian people that were there that were aloof and standoffish, often had their own businesses. People have told me they've seen them go in vans to the base of the Smoky Mountains and disappear for a couple of days at a time. And the suspicion is they were on maneuvers or whatever. What can you tell me about the Russians, the fire, what became of the Russians? Any news about that?
Well, again, I would say this. No specific news, Dave, except let's look at the facts. Has our nation been invaded? Have we been invaded? And the answer is unequivocally yes. And do we think just Al-Qaeda is coming across the border? Barack Obama has made sure anybody can come across the border. And so if we do not think that large caches of weapons, large caches of, maybe an offensive biological or nerve agents have come across the border, then I really think you're, being very, very naive. The Smoky Mountains are a very good place to hide things. It's a huge mountain range. A lot could be hidden up there very quickly. A lot of abandoned mines up in this area of the country. And it wouldn't take too long to bring in quite a few people and be able to hide them fairly well. So, no news specifically, but I do know my nation has been invaded. I do know we've had an invading army come in through multiple avenues unchecked into our country. And Americans have sat down and not said anything. And, we're going to reap the whirlwind for it. Because, again, each of these particular groups is going to have its own vision when the various civility moment happens of how we're going to fix things. And a lot of them is going to be with violence and taking everything you have from you and do that. Again, go back to Deuteronomy 28, Dave, and just read it. There's like 17 blessings in that chapter of what happens if you obey the Lord, and there's like 50-some curses, and one of them is your enemy's going to come in and you're going to flee. And so we see this again, this invasion. We see city after city being taken over by, even though it's not legally recognized, but it's practically recognized Sharia law. I think, again, we go back to the word naive, that it's naive to think that this isn't going to happen and that every group of people is going to take advantage of it. So,
what do you recommend for neighborhood defense? Where would you start?
Well, I would, again, I'd be very careful. OPSEC, I try to find people who are like-minded, and that can be done. The other thing, too, at a ham radio, there's a lot of ham radio clubs around the country. There's thousands of them. You go to a ham radio club, you take the ham radio test, and there's a lot of people there that are preppers. Because, again, ham radio, it draws preppers because preppers realize the benefit of what ham radio gives them. And so, you don't have to go there and tell everybody everything you believe, but just go there and start listening. They have monthly meetings. Go there and start listening and pick up people. I mean, they're ways to find out, and then you start associating with those people. Be careful. Vet them out well. Be careful. Don't promote or do anything illegal. But you start to form together a group that says, listen, family is a great place to start. If you have family on board, that's a great place to start. But, everybody should become competent with firearms. There's so many firearms in this country. And, again, I'll tell you, Dave, that course, Tactical Response Office, Fighting Pistol, I took it, and I realized, well, it's what I don't know. I mean, it really was. I mean, you know, you learn what you don't know. And so get confident with these things that you buy. I mean, a good shotgun, I definitely recommend. The number one selling rifle in America is an AR-15. I recommend people get that, and then get handguns that you can use in military-sized calibers, 45 or 9mm. You know, because you can buy plinking ammo fairly cheap in those calibers. And again, with a 223.556 AR-15, you can buy military-grade ammo fairly cheap compared to other, you know, what you would consider as just civilian-type rifles. So I would recommend everybody get those. Once something happens, you know, you won't get them. You know, I was thinking of a quote by Heraclitus, 2,500 years ago, and he says, out of every 100 people that are faced with, like, a warfare-type situation, 10 shouldn't even be there. You know, 80 of the people are basically going to be cannon fodder. 10 of the people are warriors, and one of them's a leader. And that's, you know, when like, the SEALs... train people, they're looking for those 9 and 10s, you know, that's what they're looking for. They want to weed out the 80%, that's what they want to get rid of. Learn to become that person who leads, you know, that takes charge. Form a group of good people, and then start to put it together in such a way that, you know, you can survive. What if it's the Chechens, if it's the Russians, whether it's just Black Lives Matter, whatever group comes to injure you, that you can survive it. Because again, the question at the end of the day, it's moral. Do you want to go home to your wife? Do you want to be the one that, at the end of the day, you know, raises your children? Do you want to see your family? I do. I want to, you know, I want to know my family goes on into a restoration time or whatever that comes. Eventually, you know, there will become a decent order out of a chaos. But at that time, if Jim and I and a lot of other people are correct, there's going to be some hurt folks along the way, and let us determine not to be those hurt folks, you know. And again, we have amazing ability at this point to acquire tools, training, as what did Jim say, stack up, team up, train up, amazing tools. I, you know, Jim's another favorite. I just like promote night vision. You know, again, a night vision device turns a 12-hour gun into a 24-hour gun. I mean, you can't use your gun in the night. You can't. I have a good AR-15, but if it just has a standard sight on it, you're not going to use it at night. You put a night vision device in front of it, on it, and all of a sudden, that AR-15 can see out 200 or 300 meters. It's pretty neat. It works real well. Believe me, it does. There's a lot of things you can do with it. You watch that movie 13 Hours, and in the movie, twice in the movie, that's the Benghazi movie, Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. One time, because you think they don't have, no, we have night vision? I think Chris Pronto says that, because these people are approaching him. And then at the beginning, the first firefight they got into him, he was saying, let them come. We have night vision. They don't. We can see them. They can't see us. That's what they say in the movie. I mean, if you want to go to school on a movie, that's go to school on it. Two comments in that movie that were just like, these are professional soldiers, and they were saying these things. You know, with a night vision, and somebody doing something bad, you put an infrared laser on that night vision, you can gangster shoot with it. Because where, if you get your weapon sighted in, wherever that laser goes, they won't see it, because you have to have night vision to see it. And this is all available. You can buy this stuff. You know, you can just point that gun, shoot it through your legs, over your head, whatever you want to do. If that laser hits it, it's going to hit the target. Again, at night, shooting at night, you can hunt at night. Now, normally hunting at night is illegal. I don't recommend it. You go to jail, at least fined. But in a situation where you need to put food on your table, I think all of us would do it. And a lot of animals come out at night. Again, I can drive at night. If I had to turn all the lights off in my car and drive home blacked out in my car, I can drive home with a night vision, you know. So I can hike at night. You know, there's just so many benefits of these two systems, and then you put the systems together. So if I had two team members, you know, with night vision, and we're, you know, just patrolling our neighborhood, I can talk to him, he can talk to me. We see something, we can team up and take care of it. It's that much of a force multiplier. And so again, you need to get that and along with the food and water, get it stocked up. Let us not be deceived in this time. Jesus spoke greatly of deception, that the people would be deceived. I think we could easily say we're seeing this now. Let's not be deceived. You know, we have generations of just absolute horrible political policy in this country that have gotten us deep in debt, that have just done everything wrong for America. And, you know, even if we can turn it around, which I hope and pray we can, we're not going to do it without problems. So the question remains for the people who are listening, potentially. Now, Jim Rawls is out in the middle of nowhere. He's going to be safer than the person who lives maybe downtown in a big city. But do you want your family to survive? That's the question. Do you want your family to survive? Do you want to see your children grow up? Because, again, if we're right and that violence does come, then we're going to be faced with a lot of hurting people.
Wow. There's so
America
much
divided,
to do.
America divided.
Going back to my question, though, about neighborhood defense. How would you approach your neighbors, and how would you go about setting up a defensive coalition in your neighborhood?
Well, again, keep in mind what that quote by Heraclitus, that out of 100 people, you get a five, probably find 10 that'll be worth anything, and one of them will be a leader. A lot of them will get you killed, a lot of them will get you hurt, so you have to be somewhat discerning in who you pick. I mean, obviously, just putting numbers together is not going to be a good thing, because that's going to be, you're going to have a lot of people in there that won't have a clue what to do. You're going to have people that understand, I would say, first biblical values and the fact that what's coming and why it's coming, and then basically even, you know, the issues that they'll be faced with. You have to have people that really understand the nature that they do want to survive, that they want to go through this. There's a lot of people that'll just give up and die. They'll say it's not worth it. And so their family will die out or whatever. But find those 10 people and find the leaders. If you find a leader who can say, let's do this, let's do that, and not some guy who wants to become Lord of all, not somebody that, but who leads. You know, there's a saying, you can push the string or you can pull the string. A good leader pulls the string. A bad leader tries to push the string. A bad leader is trying to make you push everybody to do what he wants them to do. No, a good leader sets the example by pulling it, by leading out front, by doing it himself. Now, that's one of the good signs of a good leader. So you find a guy, is he pulling the string or is he trying to push it? Okay, obviously, it's hard to push a string, but it's easy to pull it. And again, I want to see the guy who leads from up front. I want to see the guy who's out there saying, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm doing. If you want to join, that's fine. You know, I want people that are committed, that they're willing to commit time and resource to this endeavor, because this is the things we believe that are happening. I believe it, Dave, because I believe the Bible. That's why I believe it. That's my core value. That's my bottom line of why I say these things, because of my Christian faith. I know we've abandoned the law of God, and there's consequence for doing it. And so I surround myself with people who think that way. And, you know, each of us has talent. And it's not that we're not a militia. We're not out to try to overthrow the government. We're not trying to do any of these things. We're out there to live in peace with people. To be first and foremost, we want to live at peace. But should violence come our way, we have a way of dealing with it. I mean, and you'll see the benefits of it. I mean, it's the way I believe communities should be set up to begin with, because maybe I'll grow a lot of, I grow a huge organic gardens on our property, and for my friends that are in the team, I give lots of it away to them, and a lot of them are, you know, a generation or two younger than me, and they've got a lot of kids, and, you know, whatever or something like that, and so I can be a blessing to them, and then you know, maybe the younger people can help us older guys out some way by doing physical labor, and so there's a real benefit to it, just a camaraderie and a healthy benefit for doing it. But again, find those people that have a common spirit, a common belief system, again, for me, a common faith, and then if you do find a leader or want a leader, make sure it's the guy who pulls the string. I remember when my son went into the Corps, and he was in boot camp, and then finally he went off to war. He said, Dad, my first sergeant, I'll just say his first name, or last name is Maxwell, that guy pulls the string. He never tells me to do anything. He's not willing to get out front and do himself. And my son was like, I admire this guy because he pulled the string. You know, he was a leader who was willing to set example by doing it himself and not trying to have everybody become his little servant, that's a bad leader, cults, and all those kind of things. But you find somebody who's willing to do that, and then, you know, see if you're compatible with them. So I think the time is really near that we need to do this.
Okay, so you're in your backyard. I'm going to give you a hypothetical scenario. Looking over your fence, there's Bob and Sue, your neighbors. You've never talked to them about politics, but you know that you can't defend your flanks because your house is too open. How would you approach them?
Cautiously. I would just throw out some, you know, I call it doing the flashcard thing. I'm dating myself horribly right now, I know. You remember what flashcards are, don't you? The younger generation, you have to go look them up. They were cards we used to go.
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Great answer. You know, 3 times 5, 4 times 5, 5 times 5. And there's an answer, 4 times 5, 20. So you start doing your flashcard things generally with them. You ask them general questions, see what their answers are. And you'll know where to go. You might not find commonality on everything. I mean, they might be organic gardeners. And you can find commonality there. And then as you build that commonality, and, you know, you both like organic gardening, or you both like this or that or the other thing, start to build those things. And then, you know, once you build the friendships, then the political thing can come in. I don't want to walk over there at the, you know, my neighbors I've ever met and say, do you think the apocalypse is going to happen tomorrow? That would probably not be a good approach. I mean, do you agree with that? I mean, they'd look at me like going, yes, it just walked up in front of me, you know. Get off my property. So, you know, we'd be smart about it. But, again, just start doing the flashcard things with them and seeing, you know, where they're at and seeing if there's any commonality we can work together with them. That's the best thing. That's the basis of friendships to begin with. And that's what we want. We want to build friendship. I would say, you know, everybody in my group of friends is a friend. I could, it doesn't matter if the apocalypse happens or not. I could say, listen, I have to go out of town. Can you make sure my wife and children are taken care of? If they need anything, would you run over here? And he's going to say yes. And I know I have friends that if my wife and children were being threatened, believe me, they would be on my doorstep. And I can tell you, some of my friends, you wouldn't want to mess with them. I just say that. You wouldn't want to mess with them. And they're just bad guys. I mean, they're Christian guys, but they've learned the art well. And, you know, so and some of my friends are organic gardeners. So you build that coalition of people that can benefit each other.
That's good advice. Well, Bob, we're out of time. Quickly, readymaderesources.com. We got time enough just to give out your phone number. What is that?
It's 800-627-3809. Again, 800-627-3809. Dave, I've had a lot of life experience. I've been overseas a lot. I've done a lot of different things. I'm willing to sit there and talk with people for free. If they have questions, communication, night vision, security, I don't charge for my time. I do it as a benefit to the prepper community and the Patriot community. They can call me and I'll answer any questions I can. If I can't, I'll give them a straight answer. I don't know the answer.
From my perspective, people can't get prepared in the time we've got left, in my estimation, but they can be more prepared than they were and still increase their chances of survival. And you've got what everyone needs. I mean, to me, you have the best site out there in terms of prepping needs, and that's why I try to send people to you as much as I can. Bob Griswold, always a pleasure having you on.
Thanks. I want to say one more thing. Don't forget the elderly in it. Somebody's brought that question up before. If you find people that are elderly and have that prepper mindset, be willing to take them in and be willing to be charitable towards them.
Okay. Bob, on that note, we got to scoot. We are up against the clock. Thanks again for joining us. Come back next week, everybody. We'll be here same time, same place, the week before Christmas. Get ready. Say your prayers. Pray for Donald Trump's safety. Go out and have a great week, everybody. God bless.